So the reading is from Galatians chapter 4. That's verses 4 and 5, page 1170. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, so that we might receive the full rights of sons. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve, very much. Well, do keep it open, as I hope we will get into those words a little bit more in the next few moments. But let's pray, shall we, for this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Christmas. Help us to understand it more today, and help us to be thrilled by it, so that we may have a more joyful Christmas ourselves and be those who long to help others have a truly joyful Christmas. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what does Christmas mean to you? For many, it's about the presents and the chance to enjoy lots of new things. The shops are busy. The internet is doing a roaring trade. We're being bombarded with glossy supplements full of invitations to buy amazing gifts. I came across this advert from Harrods a few years ago. Rejoice, Christmas comes to Harrods, joyful and triumphant in a blaze of celestial splendor. This year, Harrods is brimming with comfort and joy, overflowing with grandeur and gifts. This is the glory of Christmas. Throughout the store, magnificent merchandise will complement the sublime setting. Let the glory of Christmas ring out. Well, that's the materialist perspective that many have on Christmas. But for others, Christmas is about family. When CBBC News put out the question to children watching, what does Christmas mean to you? Molly from London gave a typical answer when she said, the true meaning of Christmas is the birth of Jesus. But Christmas to me means everybody is happy and you spend more time with your family. And for many others, the Christmas story is a kind of fairy tale. Christmas, as a religious version of Harry Potter or The Hobbit, replete with angels, demons, and miraculous baby boys. The way it's painted on Advent calendars and in cards with the starry sky and the mysterious magi, it does just seem like that, a fairy tale. But the version of Christmas portrayed in these words of the New Testament is not quite like any of these. The sentence that we're looking at today is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. It sums up the message in a Christmas nutshell. Today, and the next two Sundays, we're looking at what Paul teaches about Christmas. And here's the big question. Why did Jesus become a man? Or as theologians say, what is the meaning of the incarnation of Jesus? Listen to the words of Galatians again. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So three reasons this morning why Christmas is not just a fairy tale. Here's the first. It's about real history. Now, a fairy story begins something like this, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But the New Testament says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son. It's speaking about a real time, the date our calendar starts from, in fact, the time that God saw was the right time to send his Son. It was the time when the world was largely united in the West, the Roman Empire, in the East, the Persian Empire. It was a time when the Greek culture and language was dominant over much of the known world. It was the time when God's people, Israel, had been prepared fully for the coming of the Messiah. When the time had fully come, at God's perfect timing, this truly remarkable event happened. God sent his son. Literally, the word in the original is, he sent out his son. You see, the son was with the father before all ages, before his birth, and he was sent out at Christmas on a mission. This son was therefore fully divine. And yes, in verse 4, born of a woman. He took to himself a truly human nature to add to his divine nature. So the children's song that we like to sing sometimes puts it really well, fully God, fully man. That's the truth we must understand. And the point we're making is that this is an historical claim that we can investigate. So Caesar Augustus was a real man. King Herod was a real man. And Jesus Christ was a real man. Roman and Jewish historians from the first century, people who were hostile to Jesus and his followers, record that he really existed and lived in Palestine and had a huge impact on the world. And then, of course, there's the four Gospels themselves, four biographies giving different perspectives on Jesus. C.S. Lewis, one-time professor of English literature at Cambridge, an expert in fairy tales, of course, till the age of 32, a vigorous atheist, described it like this as he was wrestling with the historical claims. I was by now too experienced in literary criticism to regard the Gospels as myths. They had not the mythical taste, the very manner which they set things down in their artless, historical fashion. In other words, he could see that although we're talking about amazing events, miraculous events, they were rooted in plain history. God has intervened in our world and sent his son, born of a woman. This is a remarkable claim. Now, if anyone listening is closed-minded to the idea that there is anything beyond this material world, then, of course, the idea of God coming among us is ludicrous. But I trust that you're here today, either because you're a follower of Jesus already, or you're pretty open-minded to the possibility. Now, if it is indeed true that all of the beauty and the love and the order in the universe around us is here because of a loving creator, then it's not an outrageous step to believe that he might want to communicate with us. And in fact, as the New Testament says, he's gone so far as to come here himself, take a human life and live among us. It's not a fairy tale. We're talking about real history. But the second reason it's not a fairy tale is because it's about solving a real human problem. Now, a fairy tale is, of course, about escapism, getting away from the difficulties of our lives to Never Never Land or Narnia. But the real Christmas story is about dealing head on with real life. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. Why did God send his son? What was the purpose of the incarnation? Well, it says that he invaded our world to bring redemption. The human race needs rescue. Now, of course, there are lots of good and lovely things in our world. But it's so obvious, isn't it, when you look around that so much is wrong. COVID-19 is just a great obvious sign that all is not well. Or think about some of the things in the news at the moment, the hypocrisy of the political class not adhering to the COVID restrictions that they have placed on the rest of us. It's not just in this country, it's actually in many countries around the world. Or think about the plight of refugees in the Mediterranean. It's being called the Sea of Death at the moment, or the English Channel, or on the Polish border. And think about all that has caused these people to undertake such dangerous journeys. That's not to mention all the other problems we are aware of. The problems with social media and what that does and the way people communicate and treat one another on it. Or all the problems of the damage that we're causing to our world, or corporate corruption, or whatever else it might be. Something's gone wrong, hasn't it? But what about our own lives? The daily grind of work that doesn't really satisfy a lot of the time. Or what about family life and the difficulties that we have with relationships? And at Christmas, it's particularly hard, isn't it, as we remember loved ones not with us. But it's not just what happens to us. What about the things that come out of us? The angry thoughts, the envious thoughts that we have, the greed, the lust, the sexually immoral thoughts. Now, a fairy tale offers escape from all of this. And it's great, isn't it, to have Christmas at this time of year, escape from the dreary, drab English winter weather. A festival of lights and tinsel. Escape from work with a round of parties and too much to drink. Well, that's not actually very likely this year, is it? Escape through overeating and overdrinking, binging on Christmas films, Boxing Day football, the latest PlayStation, or whatever it is for you. And escape from ourselves as we give presents to other people and think that we're generous, really. But the real Christmas message is not about this. It's not about escape. It's facing up to the real human problem that all of us have and God's wonderful solution. He sent his son to bring redemption. And we need redeeming, don't we? Because in the end, the good God will not let us go on wrecking his world forever. The sentence here in Paul speaks of a law, God's law. And God, the just judge, will hold us to account. And we can't evade his law. We might look at it and think, I'm not Jewish. It's the Jewish law, isn't it? But Paul, speaking elsewhere about this law, in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, says this: "Now we know that whatever God's law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God." You see, we've seen in Revelation, haven't we, that all of us will have to stand in God's dock. We are accountable to God for the lives we've lived, for the thoughts that we've had, the dreams we've dreamed. But the good news of Christmas is that God sent his son into the world to redeem the world. The free offer of redemption from God's justice that we deserve is made to all this Christmas. And it's the opposite of the news about Santa. Santa comes if you've been good enough. Jesus came for those who accept they are bad enough. God wants to redeem you and me. That is why Jesus came among us. And if anyone has not yet done so, would you be willing to turn to him today? To turn from sin, from self, and put your life in God's loving hands. This is the best news. And it's the best news to share with our friends and family. We've got some more opportunities in the next couple of weeks. The best opportunity in the year, isn't it? When people are most willing to come and celebrate Christmas with us. I had some lovely conversations yesterday at the school fair. People are so willing to have a think about these things. It's not a fairy tale because it's about real history. And second, it's about solving the real human problem. And then finally, it's not a fairy tale because it's about the chance of a real happy ending. Fairy tales say, and they lived happily ever after. But the Christmas story isn't quite that straightforward. Jesus came to redeem us. But that redemption would be achieved at a great cost to him. He grew up, he lived among us, and then went to the cross to receive the punishment that you and I deserve. So it's not quite a happy ending for Jesus, is it? Though wonderfully, he rose from the dead. But the reason he did this, the reason he died, was that we may have a happy ending. Redemption has a goal. God sent his Son to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. The Son of God died so that we could be redeemed and adopted as sons. That's literally what this expression, the full rights of sons, means. It means adoption. President Lyndon Johnson, in his first State of the Union address, said, "God made all men, not some men. Therefore, all men are children of God." Maybe this comes as a surprise for some, but the New Testament actually only agrees with the first half of that. God is our creator, but he's not automatically our father. He wants to be, but it's not automatic. The deepest reason we see so much wrong in our hearts and in the world is that we are estranged from God. The human race, since its earliest days, is like a vast broken home. But God is full of love and desires to adopt people into his family. Adoption is a wonderful, wonderful thing. A friend of mine has a close friend who was adopted. His parents died when he was young, and this couple, who happened to be Christian, saw him in his foster home, and he was easily the most badly behaved child there. And they thought, no one else is going to have him, we'll have him. So they took him, and they loved him, and they brought him up in a loving home, and things turned out well. Well, that is what God wants to do for each one of us. Even if we have been very badly behaved, even if we are nowhere near keeping his law, Jesus came at Christmas to die at Easter so that God can adopt people who do not deserve it. When Jesus died on the cross, the perfect Son of God was treated by the Father as if he was a sinner, but he died so that sinners can be treated like sons of God. Whether we are male or female, we can be adopted into this position of Son of God, son and heir in the family. I don't know what the prospect of Christmas with your family is going to be this year. For many, it's not a happy one. But the possibility of being adopted into God's family forever, that is great news. That is good news, whatever our circumstances. It's the chance of a real happy ending. Now, I don't know what life is like for you at the minute, but God is giving you and me this promise of a real happy ending. The question may be for you is, will you accept God's wonderful Christmas present, the best Christmas present by far? He invites all. All we have to do is turn from ourselves and put ourselves in his loving hands. So what does Christmas mean for you? Well, you could settle with the materialist version, but most presents will soon be forgotten or perhaps sent for a refund. You could settle for the human family Christmas, but I reckon that there'll be some family argument even in the closest of families in the next few weeks. You could settle for the comfortable escape of the fairy tale version, but on the 2nd of January, you have to go back to real life. Or you can accept the real thing, which is not so comfortable. We don't want to think about sin and judgment and the need for redemption, but as we've seen, it is about real history. It's about solving the real human problem. And if you'll accept it, it's the chance of a real happy ending. That is the real Christmas message. And if we accept it, then deep down inside, it'll give us real joy this year. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the great news of Christmas. That it is good news that deals with the real world as it is and offers us a real everlasting solution. Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I pray for every one of us here that we will be thrilled afresh by this news. Lord, in this world at this time with so much suffering around us, we thank you so much for this. May we be thrilled by the good news. And may we long to share it with those that we can over the next couple of weeks. And dear Heavenly Father, I also pray for any listening here today who've not yet received the redemption and the adoption that you offer. Lord, I just pray that you will help each and every one of us to respond to your love for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.